And it's all stirred up by uncleanness and sexual sin and perversion and what somebody looks like or what's going on. It's not this deep passion that God has placed there as a gift to draw somebody to who he has them for their life. See, Satan counterfeits everything real. He just counterfeits everything real. So we'll go to that scripture. We'll just have to flow the way the Holy Spirit flows. I don't know how he wants to do this. But I want you to see with this thing the Lord's saying right here, it's settled. You're not married in heaven because Jesus wants you all for himself. And also your relationships in heaven, you'll just love everybody so much. You won't need a special relationship because all relationships there will be special. Does this mean you can't live in the same mansion? I don't know. I guess once you land in heaven and you see Jesus, and hopefully, especially if you're coming here, you are so hungry to be his bride and you've let the Holy Spirit sanctify you and your whole passion and desires for Christ. That whatever God has for you is going to be what you want. So don't worry about it. If you get there, it's like, oh, sure, you guys can live in the same. I don't know. See, it's like this. When you're there, what he has is what you're going to want. So why worry about it? Some people are so codependent that they can't imagine if they went to heaven and they didn't get to live in the mansion with the woman who washed dishes for them for 50 years and she doesn't have to wash dishes for them for all eternity. They might be surprised that she's going to be singing Glory Hallelujah. So you know, some of it, is it really love or is it a need being met? You know, there's all these different things. But know this, whatever God has is greater than anything that we could think we could want. He does more than you could ask or think. So don't worry about those kind of things. And if you do, ask yourself why. Why don't I trust God? I need to know him more. I need to understand him more. I need to realize that what he has is going to be awesome. So you're really trying to hold on to this world. No, I'm not sure what God has for me. I promise you, it's going to be so much better than anything here. But it's going to be so Jesus-focused. And if you could get Jesus-focused here, it's going to completely change your life here. All right, so let's go ahead to Ephesians. And I know everybody's heard Ephesians taught and heard Ephesians taught, but I really feel like the Lord wants us to make sure as we go into even talking about what the word says about divorce and separation, all this kind of hard stuff, that we understand God's heart about marriage. But let's just look at Ephesians 1, and we're not going to do all of Ephesians 1, but I want you to get a hold of the maturity of the saints that God is talking to in the letter of Ephesians. This is the scripture. I'm just going to read just to kind of get you into the spirit of the letter of Ephesians. So Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, to the saints being in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. So these are faithful saints. Grace to you, peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies with Christ, even as he elected us in him before the foundation of the world, for us to be holy without blemish before him in love. To himself, predestining us to adoption through Jesus Christ according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise and the glory of his grace, in which he favored us in the one having been loved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the remission of sin, according to the riches of his grace, which he caused to abound towards us in all wisdom and understanding, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, for the administration of the fullness of the times, to head up all things in Christ, both the things in the heavens and the things on the earth in him, in whom we also have been chosen to an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of the one working all things according to the counsel of his own will, for us to be to the praise of his glory, the ones who had previously trusted in Christ, in whom also you, hearing the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also believing you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who in an earnest of our inheritance to the redemption of the purchased possessions, to the praise of his glory. Boy, talk about a long sentence. Because of this, hearing of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love towards all the saints, I do not cease giving thanks on your behalf, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the full knowledge of him, the eyes of your mind having been enlightened, for you to know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is his surpassing greatness of his power towards us, the ones believing according to the working of his mighty strength, which he worked in Christ in raising him from the dead. Yea, he seated him at the right hand in the heavenlies, far above all rule, all authority, power, lordship, every name having been named, not only in this age, but also in the coming age. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the assembly, which is his body, the fullness of the one, all things in all. All right. It would take me a long time to preach all of Ephesians the way I'd like to preach it. So let's just get into the heart of it. He is writing to mature believers. He is telling them, look, you guys understand that this is all about the headship of Jesus Christ. You understand that this is really about who we are in Christ and God's power and strength working in us. This whole thing he's just talking about, we understand that we are being sanctified by the Holy Spirit, made without blemish or spot or wrinkled, that God is working this in us. And he says, I'm praying for you all the time because you're maturing and you're growing and you're going deep in God and you have the revelation that all of this is about the headship of Jesus Christ. Okay, Ephesians 2. And you being dead in sin, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the ruler of the authority of the air, the spirit now working in the sons of disobedience, among whom we also all conducted ourselves in times past. All right, here's keys. These things should be past. In the lust of our flesh, acting out the things, the wills of the flesh, of the understanding, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as the rest of the world. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love which he loved us, even we being dead in sin, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved. And he raised us up together and seated us together in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus, that he might demonstrate in the ages coming on the exceeding great riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. All right. Like I said, we can't preach all this. We've got teaching on this. We'll teach it some other time. But what he's saying here, you guys are so mature and walking with the Lord that you understand that in your spirit, you are actually seated in heavenly places with Christ. You understand that Satan is defeated. You understand the power of this one that you serve. So some of you got that here. Some of you don't yet. It just wants to stir you up to get to a revelation. I've got to go deeper in God. I want to know this power of God. I want to understand this heart of God. I want to know that I'm seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. And we're doing a teaching on authority on Tuesdays at 5 to help you get to that. Okay. He goes on. For by grace you are saved through faith, and this is not of yourself. It is a gift from God, not by works that you should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God before prepared that we should walk them. Because of this, remember that you, the nations, were then in the flesh. And he goes on, those having been called uncircumcised by those having been called circumcised in the flesh, made by hand, that at that time you were without Christ. All right, he goes on, you were strangers, you weren't in God's word. But now in Christ Jesus, 13, you who were far off, you have come near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace. We're going to be teaching on that on Tuesday. He making us both one and breaking down the middle wall. Anyway, he's talking about here, God is bringing both the Gentiles and the Jews who believe in Christ Jesus together. All right. Now, let's just go to 17. Coming, he proclaimed peace to you, the ones afar off and the ones near. For through Christ, we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but you are fellow citizens of the saints and of the family of God, being built up on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the cornerstone, in whom all the building, being fitted together, grows into the holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Now, I know this is deep, but I want you to get this, because everybody likes to use the scriptures about headship, but they don't get into this whole letter and understand. He is talking to believers who know who they are in Christ. He is talking to believers who know how to have authority. He is talking to believers who walk in love. They know how to pray. They're mature. I mean, most of us ought to read this and go, oh, my God, make this real in my life. I want to know that kind of authority. I want to sit with Christ. And I want you to understand this, because if you understand you have that kind of authority, you will destroy the devil before he destroys your marriage. You will destroy the enemy before he destroys your kids. That's what God has for you. God doesn't have for you backing down to the enemy and letting him take your family. So that's why he's talking about. He goes, you're free from lust. Are you? Got tapes to help. CDs. See, we're so immature. This church wasn't immature. The bride's not going to be immature. She's going to go through knowing who she is. And she's not going to let the devil have any slack. Instead of all this beat up, beat down, poor me, can't handle it, can't do it, can't get by. Oh, it's so rough. Oh, it's so hard. Oh, get some teaching. God lives inside of you. God lives inside of you. God lives inside of women who know Christ, and God lives inside of men who know Christ, young and old. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I have authority over every work of the enemy. I have authority over every work of the enemy if I allow the Holy Spirit to sanctify me, set me apart, and change me. If I am willing to give up the mind of the flesh and live in the mind of the Spirit, if I am willing to give up the ways of the world and walk in the Spirit of God and be led by the Spirit of God and become a son and a daughter of God, no devil is going to get me out of God's will. No devil's going to take my inheritance. No devil is going to cause me to be disqualified for the high calling in Christ. No matter if he dresses himself up and looks like my kids, my husband, could be your pastor, your best friend, your mother, your father. You recognize the devil working there, love the person, and realize the devil working there is not going to steal what God has ordained for me to walk in. We have a lot of teaching to help you separate the enemy from the person he's using. All right, so this is very quickly showing you, but I want you to see verse 19. Look at this. Verse 18. Every one of us has access to God the Father. So if you're having a problem in your marriage, if you're having a problem in your relationship, if you're having a problem being single, if you're having a problem because of a divorce that the enemy brought into your life because you didn't know who you were in Christ, or because of a biblical reason that the Lord allows divorce, and we're going to get into that, then I want you to know something. You have to have the revelation. Wait a minute, I can go to God and hear from God. But let me tell you something. When you mature enough to go to God and hear from God, you better obey God. See, that's the real key. The real key is I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And if I can hear God and walk with God and obey God, even when it looks shaky, even when it doesn't look like it's good, I can trust the same God who is making me into his bride to be faithful. We're going to get into some examples of some things where the Lord has really required me to walk this out. Look at it, 19. You are no longer strangers, but you are fellow citizens of the saints and of the family of God, being built up on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself, the cornerstone, in whom all the buildings being fitted together grow into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. God is making you one he can dwell in. Do you think the devil, do you think God is scared of a devil? Do you think that God cannot move through you to bind up anything the devil's trying to do in your life? I mean, Karen will share tomorrow probably at lunch, but when she was in a situation where there was some abuse and she didn't know who she was in Christ and she took the abuse, but once she learned who she was in Christ, God would just come up in her and say, I bind you in the name of Jesus. And she'd actually begin to laugh in the Holy Spirit when someone who was able to abuse her in the past, their fist would get frozen. They couldn't say a word or move their fist, because she found out who she was in Christ Jesus. There was one situation when my husband was really hurt after our daughter died. I mean, we've gone through a lot. But this one time, he couldn't take it. And he really didn't know who to talk to, because truthfully, it's so hard to find somebody who will preach the truth. And the husbands don't go to their wives to be taught. That's biblical. And the men he would go to really didn't have much to say that could help, which is sad. And so I don't remember exactly what happened, but he, for the first time in his whole life that I've ever seen him, he actually went into a rage and he just lost it. And he hit some of these little, you know, those, all your kids, if you have kids, they all make those hand plastered things, you know? And then they always make those little, they're not ashtrays, but they're little bowl things that before everybody knew smoking was so bad, they called them ashtrays. Those little bowl things, you know what I'm talking about. Everybody has them, you know, look like somebody wadded gum together and stuck it together and, you know, oh, that's great. Don't leave it. Anyway, but, and you love those things. But especially if your daughter's with the Lord and you know you're not getting any more of those things from her. And so this one time, the pain was so deep, my husband couldn't take it. And he went nuts and really went out of his mind. And he hit all those things. And then he was like, he just went into rage. And my husband is not a violent type at all. He never has been. He's never so much as raised his voice at me, much less ever hit me, ever. I mean, he would cry if he had to spank the boys. I mean, I was the one, give me the spoon. You know, I come from a family who knows how to spank, all right? Give me the spoon. And so, but this one time, the enemy just triggered that. And I just stood there. I stood there with things flying and fists flying. And then I was praying. I took authority over it in Jesus' name. And my husband just stopped, and he was just weeping. And I just looked at him, and I just said, that's not how you handle it. That's not how you handle the pain. And if you have to handle it that way, you're going to have to leave. And he ran out the house. And Satan right away said, he's going to kill himself in a car accident. That you would send him out of the house like that. And I said, devil, shut up in the name of Jesus. You have no authority in this. And I pleaded the blood over him, and I prayed, and I don't remember, I may have called one other person to come in agreement, and I sat up and I prayed and I prayed, and I knew that in faith, I knew God was working.